So I'm Gemma Greaves, Chief Executive of the Marketing Society, and we're starting a wonderful new series called Gemma Meets, which is me meeting brilliant marketing directors and leaders all around the world. I'm currently in Hong Kong, which is very exciting, and absolutely delighted that the first podcast is with the wonderful Serafina Wong. So thank you so much for joining.
Pleasure to be here, Gemma. Nice meeting you too.
Good to see you. So I just want to start with how, when you started out in business, did you expect to be where you are now?
From the very beginning, directionally, yes, but you know, obviously there's a lot of details that nobody can predict. But halfway through, I would dare to say that yes, and you know, including the bits that is very challenging, yes, it's very predictable.
And what are the bits that are challenging?
Joining the bank and staying there for 15 years. So practically a lot of general marketers who have done better with, you know, easier industry would say is asking for trouble.
And you're referring to UBS when you mention the bank.
Yes, it's right. Yeah.
So if you look at your own leadership journey, can you think of some examples when being bold, when being brave has helped you progress in your career?
I think not leaving the bank and not walking away from challenge where there are other jobs with luxury brands or, you know, private bank, especially the boutique, as opposed to working with a brand that, you know, UBS has a lot of reputation blemishes after the financial crisis. And to stay there for another 5 to 7 years to repair the bank's brand, and to assure that clients and, you know, the best talents are retained was very, very difficult, but rewarding at the same time.
And what was probably the biggest lesson that you learned over that time?
I think, you know, part of that is really understand your current situation and what is the role of what you do on a daily basis has the impact on your entire career. And it would be very easy to say that you get out from a difficult situation and not be brave and work on shampoo or, you know, or not to look down on those, but they're easier products, right? Everybody got to eat something and, you know, use some tissues. But if you actually work for a company, your efforts put into it could be, again, ruined because of a macro situation. So to be able to be clear of what your personal mission and why you stick with it is very important. And that comes as a result, the brave and the dare of, you know, and how much time do you want to put into it before calling quit.
Brilliant. And if you sort of took yourself back and if you were looking at the advice that you could offer a younger person or a person coming into the industry, which obviously the industry is so complex in the day that we're living in now, what advice would you offer to those coming in, you know, what they should be doing in their careers or in this industry?
I think really to know yourself first, right? You know, yes. There are certain people who think that they can do very difficult things, but they're not really, by nature of it, not brave or not tough in terms of consistency or persistency. It is very hard, you know, when you non-stop do conference call on a topic that you know that branding and marketing wouldn't really save the day because the market is just, you know, affected by whether it's geopolitics or, you know, root trader or something else bigger than, you know, marketing. Then you know that to know your limit and your interest will get you a little more consistency. I think a lot of young people think that all brands are the same, but some brands are lovely. And, you know, they already, without saying, you know, there's no difficulty, but to add value to a person's life. You know, like, if you look at, like, selling a handbag or perfume or cosmetic, it can only add value, right, you know, to a person's beauty or skincare. But if you work for a controversial product like tobacco or banking and finance, like my two biggest jobs in history, a lot of times it requires a lot of mental strength.
And how do you create a culture where others can take the mental strength from you? You mentioned knowing yourself. I think that's a brilliant thing, and we always talk about it's good to be yourself, it's okay to be yourself, and actually it's great to be yourself. But the reality is a lot of corporates are not set up for people to be able to be their true selves. So when you talk about knowing yourself, how do you encourage that culture around your teams and around other people to know themselves and to be themselves?
Well, you know, you have to know yourself consistently. I mean, over time, people do change, and including myself. So when I was in the beginning of my career, I worked for Estee Lauder. It was very pretty, and I worked for Ogilvy, and it continued to be very pretty because my key accounts were very luxury, you know, the Marriott Hotel and, you know, the Canon cameras, and, you know, even Unilever wasn't like, you know, selling any controversial, you know, maybe less interesting as far as, you know, intellectually stimulating, because they were like, you know, washing powder and conditioner. But still, you know, they were easy products.
Mm.
But then I think knowing yourself consistently is like what stimulates your intellects and what keeps you going. And what is the upside of, you know, having received those challenges? To me is working with really brilliant people, bankers, lawyers. I wouldn't comment on, you know, the, you know, what the world comments on banks and things. But if you work for those people, in itself is knowledge building. And I myself become more knowledgeable in many, many ways that I didn't start off. And if I have stayed in, you know, being a tobacco marketer, or washing powder, or, you know, a lotion or cream, then I won't be where I am. Then, you know, I don't have any regret. I'm only grateful.
And how would you describe your leadership style?
You know, I ran teams in a virtual way because there's a lot of shared resources because they're MarCom, depending on what day do you need them. I think the leadership thing is like sometimes you're landed with people that you didn't hire. And they may not be as interested or enthusiastic as I am. You know, they like wonderful, obviously, you know, the events and, you know, the advertising, you know, when money can fix things. But they're not so into, you know, repairing reputation of a ruined, you know, brand, for example. So it has been quite challenging, all in all. But, you know, the leadership skills is just have to work it through together and be very, very consistent. If a leader is not consistent, I think people see through it and they will just take advantage of that and try to do little. And if you have a very resource tight and challenging environment, you really have to work together to, you know, to make sure that things happen.
Thank you. If you could edit your past, what would you change and why?
I wouldn't change anything massively because I had a very wonderful, you know, wonderful run.
Mm.
I really have been surrounded by people that has loved me and given me opportunities. I probably, you know, would have suffered less if I, you know, halfway through the 15 years to actually be a little bit less persistent. You know, earlier on I said that you got to be persistent to be successful, which is true as an outcome. But I will be very honest with you, I'm damn lucky to be still married and have two successful children. Just thinking of the hours and the carelessness I don't put into areas where it's important.
Family definitely keeps you grounded, doesn't it?
Yes.
That's something we were discussing with last week. We had breakfast with Gavin Patterson, the chief exec of BT, and he said it's the absolute key is focusing on that side of your life, your family and your health and, you know, your happiness, so you can be even better at work. And that's so important, is having that balance, because it's not easy to do. Who are your heroes in marketing?
Oh gosh, you know.
Big question.
It's a very big question. I don't want to name one, but I want to describe who they are. Mm. I think people who are not stuck with believing that they have the best idea. I actually quite like marketers with a level of vulnerability and self-doubt, because only those they would be able to experiment and be innovative and test drive. I think for those people who have typically wanted to transfer one's skills or one's success from one industry into the next big job and teach everybody else in that new world what has been, you know, then this is exactly where amazing things would not happen.
Lovely. So you mentioned vulnerability there, and one thing that we're going into later on today is we're hosting a mental health fishbowl here in Hong Kong. First time we've ever done anything like it for the society. We touched on it with our Braver conference, but having a focused event is something that is new to us. We're all going into this tonight not knowing quite how it's going to be. But part of that is vulnerability, and the more people show the vulnerability, the more you can open that space to help each other.
Mm-hmm.
How important do you think that is, especially in talking about mental health and people's well-being, and how important that is? And we've touched on that throughout all of this. How important is it to show vulnerability within that, to be able to have the conversations we need to have?
Well, it depends on that person,
mm-hmm.
And also the environment and the culture of that company that he or she operates in. Clearly, as a person, if you're not afraid to be vulnerable, you've got to be embraced by that environment where people actually encourage that, and you don't are considered odd or weak by saying that, you're not happy enough to go on a trip because you're nervous. Or you're really unhappy because of a death in the family, that you cannot, go into a major brainstorming part, section because you're running off, innovativeness or creativity that morning. So they're not exactly mental health issue, but just to say that, okay, you're not up to it today, in itself, I think, is already extremely, ridiculously brave things. A lot of people just make excuses like, I got a tummy ache, I'm down with a flu, therefore I cannot show up. I think where a company really embraced this sort of notion by itself, leading brands or leading companies that will have enough resources to know that there is a backup. If you happen to work for a very small firm that you're always under-resourced, it's very difficult for particular leaders to say that I can't show because, I got a minor panic attack or something, right? Because if that ever was disclosed or you voiced, perhaps that day was ruined, right? There's no backup system.
So how important do you think it is for us to be having this conversation with the Marketing Society, with our members this evening?
I think it's very important. I think, first of all, it's not like a problem that needs to be dealt. When we talk about mental health and well-being, it's a preventive kind of situation. You don't want to go into like a mental repair or, constant sick leave. Therefore, you have to, the company suffer, the client suffer, or, whatever suffers. It's really, when it's like if you don't think that general physical exercise is a problem, you don't need to sort of deal with it. It's like somebody needs to lose weight in order to save his heart, right? So it's a different stage of the same topic.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people left it too late, and therefore the moment they were found out or afraid to be found out, it is really an issue, then they have to leave the job or, not quite carried out, but, literally it's a chaos. So it starts with the company, I think, to actually encourage that, or at least to make aware that this is not an issue. It's just like, years ago when male employees, they naturally think that the wife's having a baby is the wife's, situation. Now that naturally people just sort of take time off, even in Hong Kong starting in February, I think January, guys can actually take 5 days parental leave.
There we go.
Yeah.
So things are starting to change.
Yeah.
And, when you're talking, it's reminding me of something that Ruby Wax said at an event in London of ours. It's okay not to be okay.
Yes.
And we should be able to embrace that.
Exactly.
And it's time to make the invisible visible.
Yes.
And I think we're going to start to do that tonight and going forward. And
I hope so,
With you on our board and leading the way forward, I'm absolutely confident we will. So
I look forward to being part of that.
Thank you so much. Absolutely wonderful to have a conversation with you, and hopefully we'll have part two soon.
Yeah. Thank you, Gemma. All the best.
Thank you.